Amen. Man, I am just so thankful for the staff and everyone that is here serving the Lord. There's not many of us, but sometimes it's not about how many you have, it's who you have. And I'm so grateful for those that have committed themselves to get here early this morning so that we could worship together. Not only our folks on the platform, our worship team, but so many people behind the scenes, folks making sure our web is up to date, folks recording, and so many wonderful people here. And those of you at home praying for us. And I've gotten so many texts and so many emails, and just not just me, but our other pastors and staff here serving, just saying, hey, we're praying for you. And so thank God for you, and thank God for Faith Baptist Church. I'm glad we can worship together. All right, I hope you didn't put your Bibles away. If you did, it's okay. Get them back out. I want you to go with me to actually two places this morning, all right? I want you to go with me to the book of Matthew. Go to Matthew, all right? We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin in verse 25 in just a few minutes. And then we're also going to be in Luke chapter 12, okay? So you can go to two places, all right? Maybe you can have your kids go to one place, and you go to the other, all right? Or maybe you can have your spouse go to one place, and you can go to the other. That's fine. But we're going to be in two places this morning. I'm going to read from both of these later and reference both of them as we go. So that's why we're doing that this morning. You know, worry is the one thing that we have all struggled with. And in this season, no doubt, you may very well be in a wrestling match with worry. In times like these, it seems the whole world is actually living in worry. Even when people say they're not worried, when you say, are you worried? No, I'm not worried. Are you sure? Well, yeah, a little bit. That's kind of what happens, right? They sort of say they're not, but then they are. We want to appear as if we're not worried, but I think the truth is there's a little bit of worry in all of us. And living with worry, friends, it does something to us. It has a way of paralyzing you and filling your life with fear and panic. Many of you know the name David Jeremiah. He's a great preacher, a great theologian, and here's what he said about worry. He said, the worrier has a mind that is torn between the real and the possible, the immediate and the potential. He's trying to fight a battle on two fronts, and he's bound to lose the war. Boy, that is so true. He's bound to lose the war. While there is a war going on right now to fight and stop this virus, there's an even bigger war that is raging, and that, my friends, is the war of worry. So how do you win the battle? You say, well, Pastor, you're speaking to the obvious. You're speaking to me. I'm sitting here worried. I'm at home. I don't want to leave. Maybe you're a senior, and you feel trapped. You feel stuck. You have kids. You think, what's going to happen? And I'm a little worried. And you say, Pastor, are you worried? A little bit. I'm not going to stand here and try to tell you that, you know, I woke up this morning and singing Kumbaya and skipped here to church. I don't like being here with all of you not here, but here's what I know. I can't allow the worry that's in my life to override the truth of God's word. So how do I win the worry? How do you win the worry? How can we win this battle? Well, here's the truth. The good news is God's word has the antidote for our anxiety. It has the answers for our angst. It has the remedy for our worry, and it contains the cure and the fix for all of our fears. Now, in both passages that I reference, Jesus addresses his men on the subject of worry. His words speak directly to our situation and circumstances that we are facing even in this very hour. You see, the thing is this, church. We will not be able to just get rid of these circumstances. I wish we could. The reality is this situation is going to be here with us for a while. But here's the good news. Worry does not have to be. While we cannot get rid of the situation, we can get rid of the worry that the situation is causing. How do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. It's a question I've been asking. So let's go to the Word of God with me. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to begin looking at verse 25 with me. Here's what Jesus says. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All right, let's go over to Luke now, all right? We're going to go to Luke chapter 12, and I want you to notice with me in verse 22, all right? Luke 12 and 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have a storehouse nor a barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God then will clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, and neither moth will corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Would you take a minute and join me in prayer? This is God's word for us today. Lord Jesus, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the promise of your presence. And now we pray, Lord, for the enlightenment and the understanding of the gospel to fill us as we study this together. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, somebody described worry like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. It's kind of like me running on the treadmill. I'll run on the treadmill, and it tells me how far I went, but when I get off, I'm still in the same spot. And that's how some of us feel. You know, the world has many options as a remedy for worry, but in the end, those options often lead you right back to where you started. In times like these, the words of Jesus give us the hope and the help that we need to overcome the war that we're facing with worry. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at three specific things here in the text, 3 points for you this morning. You can follow along. You can go on to the YouTube, our YouVersion app. You can go on to our webpage and find out. Fill these in. I know how some of you love to fill those blanks in, all right? So we've got that all set up for you. You can do that as well this morning. So I want to give you this first point. Number one, let's start by looking at what I've called the root of worry. The root of worry. Like a tree, worry has roots. And we see the fruit of this. We see the fruit of worry. We see it in fear. We see it in panic. We see it in anxiety. We see it in stress. We see it in sleeplessness. I could go on, but these are all the fruits of worry. So what about the root? What causes this? Where does this actually come from? Well, it's interesting to see that prior to Jesus addressing worry, he actually spoke on something else that I think some of us struggle with sometimes, especially as Americans. You guys ready? Buckle up, all right? Being greedy. Being greedy. And all you have to do is go to the stores and see, yeah, people are panic buying. People are running in and just hoarding and grabbing. And Jesus spoke about this. It's interesting that he parallels worry and being greedy on the same track, because worry and greediness have the same root cause. And Jesus is driving the point home that life is not made up of material things. The root cause of worry is, in fact, the same of greed. And that root is simply this, dear friends. We don't trust God. We don't trust God. It's an absence of trust in the Lord. It is us fighting for control, You know, something I was sharing with somebody yesterday, the reason a lot of us are living in fear and panic, the reason a lot of us are so upset is that our plans have been altered. What we wanted is now not going to happen, and we're upset about that. We sometimes live with the illusion that we're in control, and when things happen, we get upset. We worry, we panic. Can I just assure you today, God is not panicked at all. He is not filled with worry. He has a plan and a purpose. And it's our role, it's our job as His creation to say, okay, Lord, we need to submit to the truths of your word. Let's take a deeper dive for just a minute into worry. And when you do that, worry, it reveals something to us. Worry means to have a divided mind that leads to debilitated living. In other words, worry has its roots in our thinking and our belief about God. Worry comes from disordered thinking. One of the reasons I had you look into both places in Matthew and in Luke, because in Luke chapter number 12, in verse 29, there's a little word there, and there's a phrase that is employed there that is not used anywhere else in the scripture. It says to be doubtful in mind. That means to suspend in midair. It's where we get the idea of being in suspense about something. And isn't that how we feel right now? We just feel like, and I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I get up in the morning and I look at the news and I think, okay, what's happened? What's changed overnight? Or are things going to get worse? And there's just a suspense there. And Jesus is saying, don't live like that. You know, in 5 times in the New Testament, the Bible says, take no thought. You know what that means? That means not to worry. The actual English word means to choke or to strangle. In the Greek, it carries with it the idea of a divided mind, to be pulled in different directions. And the point is, the more people worry, the more their mind will entertain destructive and depressing thoughts. You know, there's a lady who spoke to this. I admire her greatly. Some of you know her. She spent years of her life in a concentration camp in World War II in Nazi-occupied Germany. Her name is Corrie ten Boom. And here's what she said about worry. She said, worry does not rob us of tomorrow. It does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, only of today's strength. And it's so true. Worry, friends, is unnecessary. It is unproductive. It is unbecoming. And ultimately, worry, the root of that is unbelief. Worry is the result of wrong thinking, of disordered or destructive thinking, not only about our possessions, because as I mentioned last week, we think if we have more stuff, we're in safety. It's being greedy and worry. That's where that comes from. But also, it's from a wrong perspective about God. I love what Tim Keller said. If you remember when we kind of started that series on prayer, and we've taken a little break in light of things, and in Tim Keller's prayer, book on prayer, here's what he said. Worry is not believing God will get it right, and bitterness is believing that God actually got it wrong. You know, Jesus does something in the text. I want you to go back to your Bibles now. Let's look at the text. Jesus does something. He points to the birds and the lilies. He points to his creation. Here's something I was thinking about early this morning as I was waking up, and it was still dark outside, and yet just as the sun was coming up, you could hear the birds chirping, and I thought to myself, did you know that no bird woke up this morning and thought, I have nothing to wear. These feathers are so old. No, they woke up, and they're immediately singing. They're immediately praising. They're immediately totally secure in their creator. They're not running to the mirror and going, how do I look? I feel a little... No, none of them are doing that. They're completely filled with joy in their creator, knowing. This is what Jesus is saying. Look at the birds. Look at the lilies. No lily wakes up and goes, I sure hope we get enough rain today. You know, I sure... And they, you know, lilies are kind of flopped. No, this is what Jesus is saying. Look at the text. Don't you understand? You are so much more valuable to the Father than a bird or a lily. He loves you. You know, a bird and a lily, they have such a short lifespan. I feel bad, but the truth is, we've been created for all of eternity. And Jesus is saying, don't you understand the care of your loving Heavenly Father? He loves you far more than the birds and the lilies. You have a greater purpose in your life. You know, it wasn't all that long ago I was in Israel, and I was on the Sea of Galilee, and I was sharing with our team how this was the very spot where this huge storm came. You can read about this later. Let me give you guys some homework. I know you're bored. You got nothing to do at home, right? Okay. So you can go to Matthew 8 later on, and you can read the story of the storm that came to the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And they're on the sea, and Jesus is in the boat. You know the story, right? And he's asleep, and suddenly the storm kicks up. Now, you know it had to be bad if a bunch of seasoned fishermen are scared and they're panicked. And I've said this before, but I've always wondered who drew the short straw and said, all right, you got to go wake Jesus up, right? You can just imagine somebody say, well, Jesus, everyone else is scared. Actually, I'm not scared, but I thought I would just wake you up so that you could calm the others, right? And so somebody wakes up Jesus, and it's interesting. Think about this for just a minute. Just because Jesus was in the boat, it didn't stop the storm from coming. The storm still came. In fact, Jesus knew the storm was coming. In fact, the very presence of Christ did not stop the disciples from being scared. Because, you know, we read the Bible and think, well, if I knew Jesus was in the boat, I wouldn't be scared. Don't be so sure. Some of us are scared now. And here's the good news. Jesus is in your boat. Do you know that? He's with you right now. His presence is with you. Sometimes, despite all the scripture that we know, we're still scared. Despite all the truths that we know, there's still some angst within us. These guys were terrified, and Jesus was in their boat. Just remember something. It's not the quantity of our faith. It's about the quality. Who our faith is in. It should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where our faith is to be based. And Jesus was telling his men, and he's telling us, there will be times of fear, guys. There will be times of worry. There will be situations and circumstances that you just can't get rid of. And when you find yourself here, and you will, put your trust and your faith, as little as it may be, in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to do something. There's going to be a verse I'm going to read. It's Psalm 56:3. A dear, sweet lady gave this verse to me. I was getting my tonsils out years ago when I was just a young man. And to those of you who work with kids and teenagers, never underestimate the power of your influence. And when you give someone, a young person, a verse of scripture, this young lady here in our church, when I was in England, I was just a young guy and I was getting my tonsils out. My mom and dad had left and I was up in the hospital. I was looking out the window. I was scared, and her name was Debbie. And she came walking in the room. She was a nurse that night at the hospital. She opened up her Bible and she said, Todd, I want to read a verse to you. And this is the verse that she read to me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And do you know that as a young man, all the way back then to now, I have hung on to this verse. So get your family together, get your kids, and I want you to read this verse out loud. It's on the screen. You'll be able to do it, all right? Read it with me. Ready? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will trust in thee. And if you look at what Jesus is saying, you could break it down this way, all right? Worry is illogical. Worry is illogical. You say, why is that? Because here's what I found out. You and I cannot add height to our stature. Doesn't matter how hard we try. Not only can you not add height, but just for those of you wondering, you can't add hair either, okay? So height and hair, both. You can't add that. So that's illogical. We shouldn't worry. Number two, it's ineffective. Do you know what worry accomplishes? Ready? Get your pens out. Here's what worry accomplishes. I'm going to give you what you can write down. Here's what worry accomplishes. Just make a big zero. Nothing, okay? That's what worry will accomplish. Absolutely nothing. All the energy that you spend worrying will produce nothing. In fact, it's probably going to annoy the people around you, all right? So not only is it illogical and ineffective, but here's the third one. It's irrational. You say, well, why is it irrational? Didn't you read the words of Jesus? He just said, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. I'm thinking of some old songs. I'm sorry that sometimes these old songs come to me, and some of you may not know them, but I took a picture of one of them. It says, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. I love this. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. The writer goes on to say this, no matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast, because God will take care of you. You know, you don't add quality or quantity to your life by worrying. Friends, we have a creator, And that also means we have a sustainer. And if God created us, then he will sustain us even in times like these. There's an old song that came to mind as I was penning this. Not just God will take care of you, but it goes like this. Now if the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in God's word how he feeds those little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord. Say it with me if you're at home, and just leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And then here's one more stanza. Now if your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on and your body sinks beneath the weight of care, Jesus will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. All right? So the root is not trusting God. We see that. There's a root. This is what we know. But what's the remedy? You say, okay, Pastor, I get it. It's illogical. It's ineffective. It's irrational. It's not helping. I understand. In fact, worry won't give you hair, but it might make you lose hair, okay? So what's the remedy? Number two, the remedy. God's word gives us, number two, the remedy for my worry. The remedy for my worry. Look at the text. Look at your Bibles. Here's what God's word says in Matthew and in Luke, in both places. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Whoa, that's instructionary. That's intentional. That's directional. Listen, worry should be the warning light to you and me that we have gotten our values and our priorities all mixed up. Something else has taken first place in my life that should not be there. Any area where God is not first in our life will become a source of worry for you. You see, what we seek relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, those things that we're seeking, it says everything we need to know about what is the priority and the purpose in and of our life. So what's the remedy? Here. The remedy for worry is found in redefining our priorities and rethinking our purpose. It is not God's plan and purpose for you to worry. We are to seek first the kingdom. Actively engage in seeking the kingdom and worshiping the King of the kingdom. And who's the King of the kingdom, church? His name is Jesus. This is who we seek. This is who we worship. This is who we pattern our lives after. Jesus Christ. So there's this root, and I spent a lot of time on the root because we need to understand that. And I mentioned the remedy, but really, point number two and point number three bleed into each other because there's a root and there's a remedy, and the war on worry is won, number three, by worshiping. Because when we do that, we will see some life-changing results. So number three, if you're taking notes this morning, the results of worshiping over worry. This is part of that remedy. It's redefining our purpose. It's realigning our priorities. It's saying, okay, Lord, I will seek you first. Now, we say nice things in church, right? We say things to our friends that sound really spiritual, but if you were to ask most of us what that really means, we'd go, I don't know, it sounds good, but the pastor says it, so it must be right if the preacher says it. Well, wait a minute. You need to know what you're saying. I need to know what I'm saying. So if I'm telling you and you're telling others, well, seek first the kingdom of God, what does that mean? In just a few moments, we're going to conclude the sermon. So what I'm going to do is get intensely practical and answer those questions. And I'm going to give you three statements so that you can remember what it means to have worship over worry as you implement the remedy for the root of worry. So here we go. Three things that we need to understand when we say we're going to seek first the kingdom of God. Okay? Number one, seeking God is saying that we want God's control over us. This is what we're telling the Lord. Lord, if I'm seeking you, I want your control over my life. I want you to call the shots in my life. I want you to tell me what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to submit to you. I want your control ruling and reigning over my life. God, seeking you means I want you to control my life. That's hard. That's easy to say, hard to live, because isn't it what Jesus said, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, we didn't want this coronavirus. We didn't want these things to be happening. But God, you're doing something, and I don't know what it is, but it's not your will for me to be controlled by fear and worry. It's your will for me to be controlled by what it is you have. What are you doing, Lord? Help me to understand. Are you pushing me closer to my family right now? Are you allowing things to happen that might grow me and change me? Which leads me to the second point. Seeking God is asking the Lord to work change in us. All of us are making changes right now. Everybody. I don't know anybody whose life is not being affected by the changes that have been implemented right now. But these changes, I believe, are of divine order. Because when we say, Lord, I'm going to seek you, what we're telling God is, Lord, change me. Lord, change my heart. Change my attitude. I don't want to be the same person. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that leads this to number three. Seeking God is demonstrating God's character through us. God's character through us. And this leads us to where we are today. Because when people see us, when they see you and I living in peace and not in panic, living with faith and not fear, living in worship and not worry, we are going to be given opportunities not only to share our faith, but listen, to show our faith, to demonstrate that while we may be in the same situation, we are not controlled by the worry that that situation brings. We can give hope and encouragement to a world that is losing the war on worry and being gripped by fear and panic. You see, Jesus said in the text, we're to be generous. He says, go and sell the things that you have. Live a generous life. And I thought, Lord, why did you put that there? I'll tell you why. You know the people who are secure in their eternal destiny and know what awaits them in eternity? Do you know that they become generous? And around here at our church, here's what we say generosity looks like. It means I'm going to be generous with my time, with my talent, with my treasures, and with my touch. That's what generosity is. Because I know ultimately, no matter what happens, God is in control. I know where my eternal destiny is. I know this world is not ultimately my home. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm not putting roots down here too hard. Why? Because I'm not sticking around here that long. And Jesus said, guys, live generously. Show the world what it means to live under the control of your heavenly Father. You see, in times like these, we must help our world realize that while worry is real, there's a remedy. There's freedom from our fears, peace for our panic, and a remedy for our worry. The hope that I'm talking about is found by placing all our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and resting in him and worshiping in him. You see, in times like these, dear church, in times like these, we all need the words of Jesus to wash over our souls and rest in the security of the Savior.